Hello, everyone. It's time again to talk Ann Arbor area prep hoops with your Coach Speak podcast crew, Derek Seidel from Napoleon, Josh Trope from Chelsea, and yours truly, Matt Seidel from Olivet, all head boys basketball coaches at their respective schools. Okay, fellas, it is time for our girls basketball preview for the 2021-22 season. Before we get started, though, let me check in with you two. How are things going?
Going pretty good. Still without appliances since Home Depot apparently lost ours somewhere. So that's lovely. I get to go a whole nother week living off, you know, restaurant food, which is not good for my health, even though I probably do enjoy it a little bit.
So you're in the new house. You're like, I see you on video. That's not the apartment. You're in the new house.
Yep. I've been in the new house for a week and a half now. Got most of the stuff moved in and unpacked and stuff, but we were supposed to have our appliances delivered on Thursday. We had them ordered from Home Depot since like July because there was, you know, the appliance shortage. So we ordered them really early, and yeah, they show up with just our washer and dryer and nothing to hook them up. And then just none of the kitchen appliances we had ordered. And they had no idea. Like, yeah, we don't know. This is all we got. Like, oh my gosh. So yeah, not too happy about that, but you know, it's been great being in the new house.
That's great. And I do appreciate you not calling me to move boxes. So thank you for that.
No problem.
I have two takeaways from that. First of all, that does mean that Derek will be bringing his laundry to my house still to do it, which is quite the scene whenever he does that. And secondly, it looks like our Home Depot sponsorship just went out the window, so we're probably never going to get them to sponsor the podcast.
It's all right. I just got a text from Lowe's. We're all set.
Okay, we'll be at Lowe's. Lowe's is good. All right. Sounds good. Josh, like myself, our football teams at our respective schools posted a victory last night. Are you prideful of the Chelsea Bulldogs?
Yeah, you know, I said this in the preseason. We've reached a point where here in Chelsea, like Final Fours are just a given, and you know, since my arrival 7 years ago, anyways, Final Fours are a given. So we just plan that way and prepare that way. We actually use it as a positive, more time with the middle school kids for our high school staff, a ton of time with our freshman team the first few weeks. Our young kids get a lot more attention from our varsity staff. And then we really play very few games in December. We schedule that way. So, no, all in, very excited for those guys. And also we finally have some balance in Chelsea where we have some kids that don't play football. You want a handful of football players every year to be successful. You need that toughness, that competitiveness. They know how to win, how to battle, all those things. But you also need some basketball first guys. And we have that great balance right now going on in Chelsea.
Olivetta posted a 3-0 overtime victory over Williamson yesterday in the mud at Williamson High School. That game should have been played on the turf at Olivet, but that's that head-to-head component that Derek says is impossible to put into the playoff system. But great win for the Eagles. Our guys go on for another game at Portland. That will be another level of excellence that they'll have to reach to get by that one. But it is exciting time of year. But, man, I was a little wet last night. That was a wet Friday night out there. But anyway, good stuff. The big news in the area when we talk about basketball, again, before we get into the girls' basketball teams from the area, comes out of Saline. Saline Hornets. I think everybody, when Jake Fosdick resigned and ended up taking the assistant position at Concordia not too long ago, seems like just a couple of weeks ago, I think the gut feeling was that Saline would go the interim route and maybe name one of their assistants an interim, and then they worry about hiring the right person come the spring. But they posted a job and hired Michael Merrick, the last year's coach at Waterford Kettering. I think he was hired just in the last day or two, and he is the new head coach at Saline High School. Thoughts on that?
Well, I guess I have a question first before I give you my thoughts. As an athletic director, and don't duck this question, would you have made the hire right now, or would you have gone the interim route and made the hire in the spring?
I would have made the hire if I thought I had the right guy. Like if okay. I thought the pool was, you know, I may have posted it, and then if I didn't get the pool that I wanted, then we probably would have gone an interim route. If I had a guy on staff that wanted to do it, who knows the dynamics inside the Saline program, if maybe they didn't have a guy who wanted to do it. But if I thought the right guy was there, snag him. And maybe that's what Saline did.
Derek, go ahead. You give your thoughts and I'll follow you up.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely the most interesting question about this whole thing, given that I don't know much about Coach Merrick. I think that, you know, you would get a larger pool of candidates, I think, after the season. It's just so hard to move, you know, right this close to the season. Hopefully it works out for Coach Merrick. I mean, obviously, like, you know, you go back on his Twitter and like he's posting about open gyms at Kettering 2 weeks ago or whatever. And now he's at Celine. It's just, it's a crazy dynamic there. But I think you're right. Like if you've got the guy, you know, then you'd obviously want him in there now if you think that this is the right guy for the job. And they are Celine. I'm sure that they felt like, you know, they could get the, you know, the candidate pool still there and get who they wanted. That tends to be how Celine operates, and I don't blame him. So, yeah, I hope it works out for him.
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time recovering from they are Celine. Yeah. So, no, I think that, you know, I think that they made a good hire. But that being said, you know, now what's Waterford Kettering doing? You know, I think that I agree. I think you're right, Derek. You would have got a wider talent pool in the spring. I think this was a good hire, has a good track record the last 5 years, seems to have had good success both at Kettering. He did have a really good guard there that's playing at Ferris State right now, and then he had some good success there at Canton Prep before that. So it sounds like a really good hire, but I agree. I think the talent pool would have been much wider in the spring. I know I got a phone call when the job opened asking if I'd be interested. And I said I wouldn't. I have a son at Chelsea High School and one in middle school. And I know some other area coaches got calls as well to see if they'd be interested in the job. But I think anybody, you know, that's, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks away from their season, that's a tough thing to do, is leave a group of kids and go join another one. So it's going to be tough for him to get to know the kids these next few weeks. But he seems like he's really trying to do a good job of that. He had open gym the first day he got hired. He's got one today. I'm sure he'll spend a ton of time with those guys the next 2 weeks through conditioning and, you know, team meetings and things like that. And I wish him the best. It's a tough job, man. I mean, got a lot of helicopter parents in Celine and an awful tough league to play in the SEC Red.
You lost me at they called you about the job, and you must be maturing, because years ago, dude, anybody offered you a job, you would go apply for it and maybe even take it. I mean, so it's amazing that you've kind of grounded yourself in Chelsea now. To obviously you have kids in the program. Maybe that has something to do with it, but interesting. It's going to be a tough one for him, but he's got a couple of good players and the league, the Ann Arbor schools are, not that they're down this year, but there's not really maybe a high flyer. So maybe this is a great year to kind of come in at this point and, man, to implement a system, though, right now without having the summer. I think we've all had to do it before, and it's tough. So this will be fun for him and intriguing to see how the Celine program grows under him. So, yeah.
I should clarify, when I say they, there was some influential parents calling to see if I would apply for the job.
Well, influential parents run all programs of that nature in the state, don't they? So, and that's the thing. I wish him well. I hope he does real well. And I'm sure he has the ability to do it. But if things, you know, if things don't go well, I'm sure someone will bring that to the administration's attention. That's the way it is in high school athletics and I guess college athletics as well. So wish him well. And we will talk to Coach Merrick at some point here in the very near future, maybe even have him on the
got to have him on the pod. Absolutely.
Definitely got to have him on the pod. So anyway, speaking of talent pool, let's start talking about the talent pool in our girls basketball teams from our girls basketball teams in this area. And we've always prefaced this by saying none of us are girls basketball coaches, and we don't get to one coach against any of these teams or actually get to watch a lot of their games, but we definitely follow them as much as we can, and we admire their programs, we admire their coaches, and definitely some of the successes of their players. But when we start with area girls basketball this season, I don't think there's any choice but to start with Arbor Prep and Coach Scott Stein, and one of, clearly on paper, one of the best teams in the state of Michigan regardless of class, and maybe a heavy favorite to win the Division III state title this year. What do you have to say about Arbor Prep right now?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely crazy when you look at the amount of talent that they've got. Obviously, having a player like Maya Petticord is extremely, you know, valuable in that sense. You know, just to it puts you in that position right off the bat at any level, whether you're Division I, Division II, III, or IV. I mean, being Division III, though, having that one player that can do everything that Maya does is extremely helpful. obviously, you know, having a Texas A&M commit is just is crazy, you know, from the area. One, just with it being an SEC school, it's cool to have or to hear that and, you know, to have that available to watch two times a week this season. Yeah, I mean, like that game they had a year ago with Grass Lake was a really good game to watch. I was able to watch that one on stream last year, and obviously a great matchup between Petticord and Bargesser. But yeah, I mean, just the depth of their program with the, like we talked about a little bit previously, the I think it's Utomi mm-hmm. twins, yeah. who both already have Division I offers coming into their sophomore season here. You know, that's you know, really impressive. I've seen some stuff of them on social media. You know, it's funny. They look like they definitely look like twins. They seem to always have the same hairdo, the same. They both are long, athletic wings. Like, you know, they really truly look interchangeable out there. But yeah, just the amount of talent they have is impressive. They again have that weird Arbor Prep situation where they don't have a league, but that allows them to go out and schedule just a ton of high level teams, no matter regardless of size. So that, I think that helps them get prepared for their postseason run.
I'm going to take it in a little bit different direction. I'll let you follow up, Matt, with the players and things like that. What Scott Stein and Rod Wells before him have been able to do at Arbor Prep is truly incredible in the last 10 years. They took a program that was nothing and built it into a perennial state power, producing Division I, Division II players left and right. And not only that, but, you know, this is in an area where girls basketball was not a hotbed 10 years ago. There was not great teams in Belleville and Lincoln and Ypsilanti. And they plopped this school down in the middle of all that, and they've turned this into this amazing program. And it truly is a prep school without housing. I mean, they have players from all over, and they have the best players in the area wanting to go there. You know, we don't talk about that enough, I think, you know, that the Orchard Lakes and the Arbor Preps are prep schools in Michigan. We talk about kids leaving the state, but in this case, a lot of the best players in the state go to these places, you know, but again, unbelievable job by Scott and Rod before him.
And no doubt about that. And, you know, there's some, you know, Derek mentioned the three of their Division I players. They have some other kids, and some of these kids might play at the college level as well. Kerry Woods and Jasmine Chupp and Taylor Wallace are all returning players. I mean, they returned six of their top eight. And then this theme that we're going to get throughout our podcast today, freshmen that are ready to contribute at the varsity level. He lists three of them that are going to have an impact on their depth this year. Elijah Franklin, Eliza Bush, and Tyra Wright. And that's three at Arbor Prep. And almost all of the top teams that we're going to talk about today have a freshman or two that's going to figure in the mix. But yeah, this could be a fun team. They stay healthy. You know, and what's interesting too, Maya Petticord, is a Miss Basketball candidate. I don't think there's any way around that. To have a Miss Basketball candidate in our area is great. And so is Lexi Bargesser. We have two Miss Basketball candidates in our area. And I'm sure there's some other players in the state that we're unaware of, but they're going to be on that ballot. And if they stay healthy and have a season that we think they could, it will be interesting. Shifting gears to Grass Lake, where Lexi Bargesser is a star and an Indiana commit, a 5'9 senior guard. Can they even come close to getting to the level? I mean, they lost three key components. They have Lexi Bargesser and Gabby Lutschka back, both seniors, but they lost three outstanding players who went on to play college. And they've had some injuries in their program too. Some kids that I think they were counting on this year to make that next step. But thoughts on Grass Lake, they're going to win their conference. They're going to win the Cascades, but can they make another run and can they compete with a school like Arbor Prep?
I think there's no doubt that they can compete. They have a ton of depth within that program, even though, you know, you watch the state championship last year and they really only played like five girls the whole game. Right. But you got to also remember that they played their JV team and won a regional game earlier in the tournament run, which is absurd. And I can tell you too, like at the middle school level, teaching at Napoleon Middle School, you know, even just talking to the girls that play middle school basketball, it's like it's like miserable to have to play Grass Lake at the middle school level as well. Like they have no chance because they have depth in the program all the way through. So they're just constantly refilling with talented players. Now, are they going to turn into Division One, Division Two players like Vargas Orlechka and Cabana the last couple of years? I don't know about that, but they definitely do have talent coming. I think, yeah, like you said, they're going to roll through the league again. They'll have their competitive non-league games that should hopefully get them ready for the postseason. And it, you know, with the setup they've got, it's really going to come down to, you know, when they run into Arbor Prep or, you know, a few other teams that can compete with them. There's definitely a gap, I think, in Division III, you know, with, you know, there's only a handful of teams that can compete. So if they can play well in those games, they absolutely could win another state title.
Yeah, well said. I mean, they're one of those handful of teams, right? I mean, they're in the conversation. That's all you can ask for. You know, how much better do they get between now and March is the key. Andrea will do a great job there developing young talent. That's why the program is so good. She's done an incredible job developing those middle school and youth kids all the way up. The seventh grade class right now in Grass Lake is like well known in the basketball community as the next great group coming through. People talk about it all the time already. Plus, the other thing is Andrea's attitude of anyone, anywhere, anytime scheduling really helps Grass Lake in the state tournament. I mean, this year alone, she's playing Renaissance, Arbor Prep, Hudsonville, who won the state title last year, Midland Dow, and she's going to make a short trip over to Chelsea for the Chelsea showcase. So, yeah, I mean, they're loaded again. And, you know, I know that Arbor Prep has more depth than them, but, you know, when you have two elite players like Grass Lake does, if the other girls buy into their role, anything's possible.
Some of those kids that Derek referred to, I think too, that, you know, kind of came off the JV team maybe last year and played in that and won a regional game, Lauren Lutschka, Olivia Turner, Aspen Cook, McKenna Hordenchi. Those are kids that are going to figure in the mix this year. But again, another freshman, Kate Starkey, look out for her this year at Grass Lake. She's going to have a good year. They had another freshman, unfortunately, Gracie Kerr, sounds like she suffered an ACL and will not probably participate this year. Eureka Risner, the same thing, had an injury. So those are the two girls that were hurt that we mentioned. They're going to kind of maybe stall their process a little bit, but they're going to be there. Andrew does a great job and they're used to winning and it's a program-wide thing. So it'd be fun to see if they can replace those three girls that graduated and still compete at a high level. I guess along the same breath, talking about trying to compete despite losing a few kids, but also having enough back to be competitive and having another freshman that is going to figure strongly. Father Gabriel Richard and our friend Tim Kane, are regional champions a year ago, they have a few girls back and they have a newcomer. Wondering, you know, they obviously play in the tough Catholic League where Birmingham Marion is probably the favorite, but this is again a Division II or Class B team, whatever you want to call it. That if they're playing well at the end of the year, look out. Thoughts on Tim Kane and the Irish?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, Coach Kane, as you know, he's clearly found a spot for him that's working well. You know, having the players they have back is exciting for them. You know, one other thing to note too, the team that they got knocked out against in the quarters last year is now Division One. We'll talk about them later with Western, but you know, obviously it's a different year, different players at schools, different teams will step up and stuff, but that's an interesting piece to note as well. They play so many schools that are bigger than them during the regular season. So they get that experience against the class A or Division One schools, which is funny. I mean, all three of these schools we've talked about, they play a lot of these bigger schools, but then in the postseason they play against, or they play, you know, at either Class B in this case, or Class C for Grass Lake and Arbor Prep. I do think that it makes it tough when you have that difficult of a league. We talked about it with, you know, Lumen Christie's boys team and how, like, when you're a smaller school playing in a league against bigger schools, it can make it tough. But I think they'll be fine at the end of the day. Why is it that the Catholic League is different for the girls basketball and boys basketball? Maybe I just don't understand the Catholic
There's
League.
More girls teams.
That's what, okay. So they, yeah. Like, because their boys is in like what, like a 3-4 team? We were talking about that in the last.
Or maybe not more girls teams, but different teams. Remember, well, because you weren't raised as a good Catholic by your father. And
no, definitely not.
There are all girls schools and all boys schools in the Catholic League. So like, for instance, Marion doesn't have boys. Detroit Catholic Central doesn't have females, you know, so like it's a different deal there. We can explain that off air to you if you want. You know, I can bring you into Chelsea and we sit down with the priest and we can explain all that stuff to you.
I don't think I need that, but all right.
Okay. All right. So go back to girls basketball with Gabe Richard, very tough district this year. Okay. Stockbridge team that wins their league year in and year out, and they're going to reload, even though they just made a switch with the head coach. They have a ton of talent right now. Williamston girls are always very competitive. So again, a little bit tougher district for them than last year, but again, they will be very, very battle tested. So Tim Kane, one of the best basketball minds in the area, has been for the last 10 years, whether it was as the Belleville JV coach, the Willow Run varsity coach, or, you know, Dexter boys varsity coach, wherever he's at, he's always been one of the best basketball minds in the area. No question about that. No one could really even debate that. But, you know, I was watching one of my favorite Twitter accounts the other day. University of Texas men's basketball. I love Chris Beard. I love his little things on Twitter. And one of the things he put out there the other day was everybody on their team has to make a sacrifice this year. And Chris Beard is going to sacrifice not drinking any beer during the season this year for his team. And it made me think of Tim Kane. I think Tim could probably and should probably sacrifice using Twitter during the season this year. And I think that would be one more thing that could help his program.
Come on, man. Tim Kane's Twitter presence is something we live for. And I'm actually disappointed. I haven't seen a lot from it. So I disagree with that. Tim, you keep being you on Twitter. Just don't get yourself fired for putting something out there that parents don't want to see. But, you know, he brings back Lainey Garbars, a 6-foot senior forward, Mary Kate McAuliffe, a 5'10 senior forward, Michaela Waraway, a 5'10 junior guard. And he's got the newcomer, the freshman, who's going to be a sensation for everything points to this. Charlotte Miller, 5'9", freshman point guard, probably going to take care of the basketball at Gabe Richard for the next 4 years. This team, by the way, comes out to Olivet in early December. I get to see them live. I look forward to that. They're going to play my Eagles over there. So I get to see if I can make Tim uncomfortable when he comes into the gym. But they're going to be good. He's got some talent, and he will do a good job. And they got that taste of winning last year, and they won a bunch of close games. And so, yeah, you're right though. I didn't, until you just mentioned it, I didn't realize their district had changed, but there it is right there. Yeah, man, they've got the tough road now. Unlike maybe last year where they had a little smoother run. So, okay. Shifting gears. Let's move into the, some of these SEC Red teams. And when we start with SEC Red or talk about SEC Red, we need to start with the Saline Hornets, Leanne Ream, 18-2 last season. They lost in a regional final. They lost obviously some very good players, but at a place like Saline, we love talking about Saline. They're going to reload. They've got some key players back. They've got some newcomers that are going to figure in. I'm hearing that there are some threats, maybe, you know, from Dexter or Pioneer to win this conference this year. But if I had to bet, I'm still betting on Saline until someone knocks them off. Any early thoughts on Saline before they get started next week?
Yeah, I'll say this. After having Leanne on the podcast this summer, easily my favorite women's coach in the state of Michigan right now, high school coach, just outstanding. Culture that she has created over there. I love that the idea how many threes they put up. She did some awesome things this summer with her program. Just following them on social media, the trips and experiences and things like that. I mean, who wouldn't want to be a part of this program? Who wouldn't want their daughter to be part of a program like this? You know, and not only that, but by the way, they win a lot as well. So great program, great place to play. You know, it seems like the staff's really got it rolling. Great kids in the program. And I don't think they're going to miss a beat. I think they're only going to continue to get better and better every year.
It's funny you said that was exactly the message I was going to go with. It's like, I just was so impressed with Coach Ream this summer on the pod that, like, I'm way more confident now than maybe I would have been had we not had her on. Just, I really like the vibe that their program has and the way that she has built them up, like you said. And it just, I think that what she's got going is repeatable. Like, it's easy for them to just take their returners and add the new pieces in and just kind of, you know, put things together and continue that culture moving forward. I mean, when you look at some of their talent too, I mean, Sophie Cannon was putting up a lot of big numbers a year ago, and I think she's going to do that again this year. She's committed to Hope College, which, you know, Hope is just, you know, they're a Division III school, but they might as well, they beat last night. They beat Ferris
State. I'm just going to say that they're one of the better Division II schools.
Yeah. They're so good. And obviously we talk with Coach Morehouse on the pod, you know, as well. And that's an impressive program. So it takes a good player to be able to get an offer to that school. And obviously she's really good on both ends of the floor. I was impressed with Kate Stemmer last year in their regional games. You know, obviously she's not quite the offensive presence that Ella was yet, but I mean, she was only a freshman a year ago. So it'll be interesting to see how she can develop. I know Coach is really, really high on her defensive ability, and you know, that helps them to have that. It looks like they've got some other key returners as well. Some size. And then, like you mentioned, there's another freshman in the mix here. So I definitely would pick them to win the SEC Red, even though there are some other very competitive teams in the conference.
Do I get to count Leanne on my coaching tree since she was a middle school boys coach the single year that I coached the varsity boys at Celine? Do I get to count her? Because I think I'm counting her, because she might be the best one on my tree right now. No offense, Josh, because you're on
none,
my tree.
None taken. Trust me.
Yeah, I'm gonna start counting her.
Elevate her to a JV or varsity assistant. I mean, some of the guys you had on that bench were pretty questionable, let me tell you.
I was only there a year. I didn't get a chance to make those kind of decisions. I bailed after a year. But that's what my career has come to, my coaching tree. It's not really like accomplishments on the floor anymore. So a couple of those other players, Taylor Kangas is a junior point guard for Celine, Bethann Ford, a junior post. Both of these are going to figure heavily in Celine's attack this year, and Leanne is really excited about them. Again, the freshman, Caden Maida, I don't want to keep focusing on it, but it's just amazing how these girls are ready to play so early in their careers. It's a lot harder for boys. When you see a freshman boy starting and contributing on the varsity level, it's much more rare than the girls. And she's got some other newcomers as well, probably too many to mention, but they're going to be right there, but they're going to get pushed a little bit this year too. Any thoughts on some of these other, I mean, we've got, you know, Dexter and Pioneer, I guess, come to mind as two of the schools that probably, are probably the closest, maybe, you know, at least based on their recent history. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's, you know, I have the most, obviously, again, affinity for Dexter in this mix. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they adjust and moving up to the SEC Red. I think that's a tough adjustment, even maybe more so in girls this year than in the boys side. Just because there's so much talent in the SEC Red and the girls side right now, not that there isn't in the boys, but with the Dexter squad, I mean, some of the names have just been around for so long at this point. I mean, Sydney Panasic, I remember when she was coming onto the scene as a freshman, and she's a Division II player. Then you got Bree Rodriguez and Maddie Valentine, who again, just have a ton of experience. I know Bree was out most of last year and was an honorable mention all league player as a sophomore. So hopefully Bree can stay healthy. You know, the Rodriguez's, obviously I think we've mentioned previously on the pod, they were our neighbors back in the day. So I love cheering for the Rodriguez's. Obviously Ava and Vanessa are coming in next year into the high school ranks as well. But you know, just hard nosed players that play the game the right way. I love cheering for the Rodriguez's. But yeah, I think that, you know, it'll be a tough adjustment, I have a feeling, for this group. But I definitely think that they'll be able to compete and definitely win some games in the SC Red.
Yeah, you're forgetting not an area team, but maybe the best team in the league is Bedford. Let me ask you this. I mean, let's go back to the Rodriguez's. I mean, Bree, I had a chance to watch her a couple of years ago. I mean, she's the consummate point guard, tough as nails, great on-ball defender, runs the offense, all those things. So to have her back at full strength is going to be huge this year. But so the twins are not freshmen this year?
No.
Eighth graders.
Okay. Well, because I felt like over the summer we were following their open recruitment of local high school teams and summer ball. So I'm just curious. So they have not made their high school commitment videos yet. Those will be coming out next spring. So, okay. So I just checking that out. I was wondering about that. So Dexter's well coached, you know, really good program, you know, Final Four run, you know, several years back and things like that. So, you know, I think Lauren's done a really good job. Obviously, the red is significantly tougher than the white in girls basketball. So they will be tested. I'm interested to see how they handle being tested three games in a row instead of just two games all year from Chelsea. So we'll see how the girls do with that. I think they definitely have the talent to handle it, but it's going to be much more of a grind.
I'm glad you mentioned Bedford too. We just didn't include them because they're kind of just outside our coverage area, but they definitely are going to be a factor. So really it's four schools in there, three of which are local. You know, Pioneer, four key players coming back. Lauren DeWolf, she was an all-conference player last year. She's going to be a senior. She averaged 12 points a game. Kayla Covington, a junior, she has potential to be an all-conference player this year. Breen Bogan, another senior. I think she's going to have a solid year. Coach Hicks, Savannah Brewer, a junior. She's up from the JV, but she should be a big addition to their team. Obviously, Tyrone Hicks's daughter has transferred. She's going to a prep school in the Taft School in Watertown, Connecticut. So that's actually a big loss for Pioneer. That's an interesting story in itself. But the coach stays and the star player daughter leaves. But I think they have enough, and I think he's pretty confident they're going to be in the mix for the league title this year. So the SEC Red, and I think all the coaches communicated this, is really a competitive division, and they're up against it pretty much, you know, every day. And we haven't even mentioned, you know, Huron and Skyline, two more Ann Arbor schools, which have been, you know, kind of trying to regroup. Skyline more than Huron has really been down. But Scott Hunter is back at Huron as a head coach, and he's trying to piece it together and trying to be competitive in this league. He lost a key player. Jordan Wright moved to Texas, and, you know, all conference first team player a year ago. That doesn't help his mission to compete in this conference. But Janae Sims taking over at Skyline. That's Janae has been one of those up and coming high rising coaches, a young coach that we knew she was going to get a head coaching job at some point. And she takes over at Skyline. Should be interesting how she impacts that program.
Yeah. You got to love Coach Sims is just kind of, again, vibes, like one of my favorite words these days. I don't know why, but I like the vibe of the Skyline program that Coach Sims brings. Just a lot of energy, the positivity, and just, like, I think has the right idea of, you know, getting kids passionate about the game and building, and, you know, just looking at the write-up that we got, you know, I think she's got the right idea of, you know, building this over the long term. And I think that's just a good hire for Skyline. And I think that, you know, she'll stick around. And obviously it looks like they got a pretty good player back in Ava Perry, who averaged 10 a game last year and can score for them. And she's only a junior. So that should definitely help them in Coach Sims' first year.
Yeah, I great hire, hiring Janae Sims. I just hope that Coach doesn't get swallowed up by the rebuilding process. And what I mean by that is she's a ton of energy, connects well with players, boys and girls. She's done a great job on both sides. Dynamic personality, really good former player. You know, but that Skyline job is not easy. You're at the bottom of the heap right now, and you got a long way to get to the top. You're fighting against some really, really seasoned coaches at the top and some established programs with a ton of success, like Dexter, Celine, Bedford, and Pioneer. So hopefully, you know, she takes the long road with this and realizes that, you know, it's going to be a 3 or 4 year process to get her kids in there. And as far as the middle school, the development, these young freshmen and sophomores that are playing for her, because I think she's going to be great for area basketball.
Before we move on, just want to mention a few of those. Huron, Scott Hunter, he's going to rely on three seniors this year. It's Angela Rondone, Ania Smith, Alina Lecht or Luke, probably butchering that. She's a 6 foot, Alina's a 6 foot senior center. She was an honorable mention all conference player last year. So they're going to be as good as those three play. But again, three freshmen who are going to figure in the mix right away. Sage Edmondson, that's a name we recognize over there at Huron, Cora Williams and Kylie Perry, among others. So again, the young girls, and some of these teams are going to be as good as some of their young players can contribute in terms of in supporting roles. But SEC Red, going to be fun to watch. SEC White, don't know if anybody's going to be able to touch the Chelsea Bulldogs, as much as it pains me to say that. Coach Tony Scheffler, this is his second year over there. Got a couple of really good players back. And it sounds like they also have a trio of talented freshmen that are going to figure in the mix right away. Anybody see anybody coming close to Chelsea this year? Or do you guys also believe they're the heavy favorite?
I don't think a starter will play in the fourth quarter of a league game this year. nobody's coming close. it's not going to happen. No, Tony's done a really good job in his, you know, first 2 years there, were going into his second year. You know, obviously he had a great mentor in Todd Blomquist. Todd is actually back on the staff this year as Tony's assistant, which I think is an interesting story as well. And you know, obviously then they have Jeremy Davies as the JV coach. I mean, they essentially have three varsity coaches in the program with just a plethora of talent and some Division I, Division II players leading it. They have an incredibly athletic sophomore group, super talented freshman group. Yeah, it's, you know, it's over. You might as well just give them the SEC white title.
Yeah, not only this year does it look like it's going to be rough for the rest of the league. It's just moving forward. It's not like, oh, they got a bunch of upperclassmen that are going to be gone and then things will open up. I mean, their top players are all young. So, I mean, they're going to be good for a long time. I mean, Megan McCullough, obviously already has multiple Division II offers. And I think that she'll continue to take a step forward. Layla Wells was a breakout player as the year went on last year as a freshman and already holds Power 5 offers. She's going to be a stud for three more years here in the area. And then, like you mentioned, the three freshmen, you know, including Coach's kid. And I know there's a Lay coming as well. I know the Lays have been very, very helpful for the basketball programs over there in Chelsea. And I remember Coach and Hunter was fun a few years back on the boys' side. So I definitely think that they will handle their business this year. It'll be interesting to see how far they can go in the postseason.
Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about. I mean, we really even shouldn't be talking about the SEC white. I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. What we should be talking about is how deep can they go in the tournament, you know, and that's going to be the bigger question. You know, I think when do they run into Lansing Catholic? Can they get over the hump against Lansing Catholic, a team that really put it on them last year with a bunch of freshmen? You know, can they get past that? And then if so, you know, when do they run into an Edison and things like that? I mean, this is a team we should be talking about with the Breslin Center. There's no question for the next several years.
I think the team that, you know, we say this like they're going to win easy. I do wonder if Tecumseh or Jackson could give them a game maybe at some point during the year. And oh, last year, you know, Jackson had them in a close game. 2 years ago, Jackson had them in a close game. They haven't actually beaten them yet in the last 2 years, but they've been right there. I know Jackson's got a really high scoring guard that's returning. That's a senior, Maya Pierce, who averaged over 16 a game a year ago. And it looks like Tecumseh returns, you know, multiple all-league players and all-county players. And they've actually got a little bit of depth coming, I know, which Coach Zajac is excited about, which that was really where they were lacking last year. So, you know, can maybe that one of those teams muck up a game and get them here or there? I wouldn't be, like, totally shocked if that happened. But you know, Chelsea's just got to hope that, you know, if Tecumseh does manage to do that, it's not in the district.
I actually think Tecumseh and maybe Jackson as well, because they've proven it the last couple of years, Jackson, that they can compete on certain nights, but Tecumseh is going to be a factor in girls basketball. No offense to the girls. There are just nights where that ball's not, and it's like that in boys basketball too, where the ball's just not going in. And you'll see a game in the 30s sometimes in girls. And Tecumseh is going to have enough. They have enough size. They have enough experience. I mean, yeah, they've had a roster of 6 or 7 varsity players for a while. And Christy Zajac now has a full roster, and she's definitely excited about it. Jaden Benscooter, a 6'1 senior center. She's back, an all-league player. Chesney Wilkie, 5'9 junior forward, is back. Allie Barrett, Jada Moore, and Bella Jay, man, how do you pronounce that last name? Great. Another back to the all name team. I'm not even going to try it. Is it Jules Zapatis? Jules Zapatis? That's my best attempt. Those are all just returning players. And again, two more freshmen, including the coach's daughter, Allie Zajac and Ashlyn Moorhead, are going to contribute this year. And they have some others as well. So she's going to have a deep rotation for the first time. Don't be surprised if they they at least give Chelsea one game this year. And while Chelsea, like Josh mentioned, is probably has state relevance the next few years, I think Tecumseh is going to be one of the thorns in their side and a team that Chelsea can't look past in the conference. So
to your point, and I'll follow this up, is Tecumseh played them close in the district final last year, lost 40-33. They kind of mucked it up and made it an ugly game. And I mean, that was a one possession game with about 3 minutes to go. So you are correct. And I guess I did look there while you were talking, not that I wasn't paying attention to your every word, Matt, but that regional, you're going to have a Chelsea district winner. If they win the district, which I expect them to, they would actually play Tim Kaine and Gabe Richard possibly in that regional semi, which would be an incredible game. And then the winner of that gets Lansing Catholic in a regional final. And then if the winner of that gets Edison in a quarterfinal, I mean, that is must-see basketball. I'm going to make sure I'm practicing 3 to 5 of those days so I can get to all those games. I mean, that's going to be unbelievable.
The fact that you're still practicing 2 hours a day late in the season is beyond me, but that's, you know, we talk about that later. So Jackson, real quick, coached by Ken Robinson, has a player returning, Maya Pierce, 5'8" senior point guard wing player, averaged 16.3 points per game. She is going to be one of the better players in the SEC White this year. They'll be a factor for whatever reason. They, in the last couple of years, like I said, they've proven themselves as at least someone who can compete with the top teams in the league. And, you know, that the battle, even if Chelsea does win it easily this year, the battle for second between Jackson and Tecumseh and maybe anyone else who's upstart, I think will be kind of intriguing. So, but Ken, it sounds like he's in his second year, have real positive coach and has a lot of good things to say about his players. So he's excited and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the interesting thing with Jackson, I got some, I'm stealing your transition here a little bit, but with Western and girls moving up to Division One, you've actually got Jackson High, Parma Western, and Jackson Northwest all in the same district this year. So that battle for Jackson is actually a little more important than maybe it has been in the past. Obviously, we're going to talk about Western and Northwest this year, which as we're expanding our reach right. A little bit.
Well, let's do that right now. And they might be the two best teams in the I-8. We're talking about Western, or some people call them Parma Western, coached by Gina Fortress, who, by the way, has a son named Steel Fortress, who used to play at Western. One of the best names of all time. I love Steel. I watched Steel play Little League Baseball when he was 10, and he was just a mountain of a kid then, but I digress. Jackson Northwest, coached by Ryan Carroll. They could be 1-2 in the I-8, at least preseason. A couple of really good coaches, good teams. Western's obviously turned it around in recent years and is a factor and made it to the Breslin last year. Thoughts on those two teams?
I think that Western is the favorite in both the district and in the league there. They just have so many key returners from a team that made it to the Breslin Center last year. I know Hillary Griffin is already committed to Wayne State. But then you've also got just other key pieces. And it seems like they've really been helped by the premier program and stuff with Alina Lewis, Reese Hitt, and looks like Lily Luma and Riley Kubiak are also, all key returners. And it seems like you constantly are hearing about some of their younger players too, in the premier program. So I think that they'll continue to be good, as long as they can, you know, keep things in line in every other sense. But, you know, I think it does get tougher for them, obviously, moving to Division One and having to, you know, compete with some of those bigger schools.
Yeah, I mean, I think Derek covered everything there with them. And I guess moving to Northwest, I'd say the same thing. You know, only difference with Northwest is not only is Premier helping that program, but they have a little bit more story tradition. They have some players up at Lake State right now. They've been better a little bit longer. They made a run to the Breslin a handful of years, or not the Breslin, actually. They actually played at Calvin a handful of years ago, where they went up there and played another local team in a semifinal game. So, you know, I think that both these programs are really good. They're super competitive. They're going to be not only competing for a league title, but a district title. Now that Western is Division One. Again, I always just find it so unique. I mean, you know, I'll just get my 2 cents in. I can't believe we don't have more than 4 state champions when we have more teams playing basketball than we have playing football. But also the fact that we have girls and boys programs in the same school in different divisions is just wild to me. It makes no sense that you're playing in different divisions. But you know, again, both really good programs, maybe two of the better programs in the area. I just don't get a chance to see them play very much.
Right. Northwest, I've always been impressed with Ryan Carroll, the head coach. He came over, brought his team over for a district at Olivet when I was first starting out as an athletic director there. And they were just starting to get good. And he's a difference maker. You just, the way his kids play and his system that he has implemented there, he's a smart guy. Their leader is very, very helpful to their mission. But they also, you know, they have a couple of really good players back. A Lane Slate, 5'9" junior guard, averaged 15 and a half points last year. And Ashley Weller, who's a 5'10 sophomore guard, averaged 8.5 points. So got a two really good underclassmen players coming back. So they're going to be good for a while. Yeah, it's the I-8, and, you know, the I-8's got a couple teams. Marshall's, you know, obviously been really good in the past, and they'll probably have a hand in that conference as well. So let's not ignore our team. You know, Belleville, it's funny. I read that, you know, Chelsea is like, sometimes sports are like, Chelsea was the only local team to win a playoff football game, you know, this week. And Belleville won a playoff. Like, people forget.
So did the Big Reds of Milan.
Yeah, people forget that Belleville and Milan, for that matter, are our area teams. I mean, they're right there. I mean, Belleville literally straddles the Washtenaw Wayne County border. Jason Wilkins is back after his successful first season. We saw him go 11-3 and finish 9-2 in the conference. They may not have enough to compete with Wayne Memorial, but they're going to be right there. Again, they have a player, Darius Shelby, a 5'7" sophomore guard. I think she already holds an offer from Nebraska Omaha. He's got some other players. We knew this was going to happen. He's got a freshman player named Rylan Bushell, class of 2025. She might be one of the best in the state in that class. So he's got some talent. Like I said, we predicted this and we knew this was going to happen. Jason's been doing a good job getting kids there and keeping that positive vibe going. Any thoughts on Belleville?
Yeah, I mean, losing as much as they did from a year ago, I mean, makes it tough. You know, it kind of just creates a little bit of unknown coming into the year. You know, that they had some key players that left, but I mean, they finished second in the league a year ago to Wayne Memorial, and I know we got to see that Wayne Memorial team play in the postseason, and that was a ridiculously good team. So, you know, and I think they'll be right there again in the conference with even though it's going to require them to reload, but I feel like they're going to be able to keep it moving in the right direction with Coach Wilkins there. And yeah, I think that we'll continue to see them grow over these next few years. And I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about them as a top team in the state in a couple of years.
Yeah, definitely up and coming team. Jason brings a ton of energy and knowledge of the program. He's just, you know, in a tough spot, right? I mean, you got Wayne Memorial, who's a state power in the same league. And then you're going to a district with teams like Saline and Pioneer and Huron and things like that. So it's a very tough road for them. But I expect a great season for them. And if they can get by a Wayne Memorial once, they can win a league title. And if they can get hot in March, they can make a really deep, if they get out of the district, they can make a really deep run. The only problem is, like, I think they once again face Wayne in a regional if they win the district. But yeah, the great program right now going on, great things going on at Belleville right now.
Bobby Green's Milan team obviously had a really good year last year, took Tim Kaine's Irish. That was a regional game. That was quite an exciting game, an exciting fourth quarter, took him down to the wire. I think he loses quite a bit at Milan this year. Josh, you're our Milan connection. I don't know if you – what's the vibe over there in Milan regarding girls basketball? They've got they've got some kids back. I don't know if they're the favorite in the Huron League, but they should be in the upper half. Any thoughts on Milan from either of you?
Yeah, so I mean, he's done an incredible job since coming over and taking over that program. I mean, it was a doormat there. We had a great run at Milan there back in the like 2010 to 2014 era right there with Lindsey Lammers, an all-state player that was there, and Jeff Scott was leading that program at the time, and they really had it rolling. And then they had about an 8-year drought where they just, I mean, they were hoping to get 3 wins out of a season type thing. This guy came in and just, you know, ton of energy, ton of interest in the girls basketball program, really has gotten after it. I mean, he took Chelsea to the wire last year as well. I mean, he's done a really good job of not only coaching on the floor, but just getting some energy and excitement around the program. Just, it was not there when I was in Milan. So it's a really, he's done a really good job. And then I love seeing Ali Molina on there. Former neighbor of the Trope family back in the day when we lived in Milan. And, you know, she was a kindergarten first grader back then walking to school with Luke Trope. And so to see her as a junior, as a top returner, that's very exciting.
It's funny how being a neighbor of one of the podcast hosts gets you some extra play on the podcast, like the Rodriguez girls from Dexter and Molina from Milan. Lauren Obi, is it Obi or Obe? It's a great, good last name. The 5'2 senior point guard from Milan, 10 points a game last year, all league honorable mention. They'll be intriguing. I think Riverview and Flat Rock might be the two teams to beat in that conference, maybe one better than the other. But Milan, should be competing. The other thing I want to mention, we kind of skipped over this, the Cascades Conference, the only school that we really covered or mentioned in this preview so far was Grass Lake. And that's probably because they are a prohibited favorite. But, you know, Michigan Center has had a really good run in girls basketball. They have a coaching change this year. Greg View has taken over for them. But Michigan Center's coach from last year is now the coach at Hanover Horton, which is kind of an interesting, his name, Joe Lusk. You usually don't see a coach jump within the league.
It's crazy how, you know, in the Cascades Conference, obviously I'm newer to it, but I now am right in the middle of all this. They've had a team. There's been a team in the Cascades Conference that's been like state contenders almost every year. You go back 10 plus years and there's always, but it's changed. It's not always the same team. Right now it's Grass Lake. 2 years ago it was Michigan Center and Grass Lake. I mean, Napoleon has a couple of Final Four trips in the past 10 to 15 years. Manchester had did it as well.
So they won a state title.
I couldn't remember if they won it, but yeah, they did. That's right. So it's crazy how competitive it's been, but like, you know, it really cycles through. I think a lot of that has to do with just all these small schools are so close together. It's easy to kids move around like crazy, but I actually think that Coach Lusk's Hanover squad is probably, you know, going to be the second best team. Obviously it's a battle for second in that league. It'll be, you know, interesting to see, but yeah, I wonder if Center can kind of, you know, keep it going here at all. Cause obviously they beat Grass Lake in the postseason, like three straight years or two straight years, you know, before they finally broke through last year, Grass Lake did.
I got one shout out to a senior at Michigan Center, Cameron Shannon. She's 5'8" senior.
We talking about the golfer?
Yes. And that's what I wanted to shout out. You know, she won the state championship last year. Well, this year I looked it up. She finished second. She shoots a 74, but she got beat by a stroke. I can't remember where the girl was from, but Shannon is a legit scratch golfer, which is, you know, still, I have probably more respect for that because the 74 is usually kind of like close to my 9-hole score. But yeah, so that's pretty impressive, but she is the senior. I assume she's going to play golf in college, but maybe she's more of a basketball girl when it comes to her passion, but I guess we'll see. But I always think that's pretty cool about her. So anyway, I think that concludes a lengthy but thorough girls basketball preview. We had a lot of fun with that. And again, even though we don't get to see them and coach against them, we definitely follow them. We have so many good players and coaches in this area on the girls side. It's impressive. We're looking forward to it. Next week, our next podcast after this one, we will jump to the Cascades Conference and cover the 8 boys teams, even the Napoleon Pirates coached by Derek Seidel. Although Josh and I may handle that preview. He's not going to tell us what he thinks. We'll tell him what we think about him and his players. But anyway, that's going to be interesting and see if Hanover Horton can defend their reign over there and the Michigan Center, Napoleon, and maybe some others trying to get into the mix. So we will do that next time. Anyway, good talking to you guys. We got some football coming up, high school and college and pro. I try not to watch too much pro football these days. My Lions we'll leave it at that. But until next time, folks, have a great week and we'll see you again.